Good afternoon. Welcome on in to Kildare Focus. You're listening to KFM. It's Caoimhe Harney with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up on today's show, we'll be speaking to Gillian Bird. She's Head of Education and Media at the Dublin Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There's a record number of owners waiting to surrender their pets to the DSPCA. We'll be finding out why. We'll talk to Dara Weir. He's Environment Awareness Officer at Kildare County Council. Free battery and electronic waste collection days are being held in Maynooth and in Selbridge this weekend. We'll speak to Lucinda Russell. She's Arts Officer and Creative Ireland Coordinator for Kildare County Council. There's a free circus and aerial dance workshops taking place here in County Kildare. And then last, we'll speak to Dr. Anne-Marie Creven. She's Assistant Professor and Researcher at the Department of Psychology in the University of Limerick. Parental regret. If you could go back in time, would you choose to become a parent? If you want to get in touch with the show, 045 898 999. Athai's Kate Dooley is on the phones. If you want to email me, it's studio@kfmradio.com, or you can send us a text or WhatsApp.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, the Dublin Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals says a record of more than 900 people are waiting on its list to surrender their pets. Well, I'm joined now on the line by Gillian Bird, Head of Education and Media at the DSPCA. Good afternoon, Gillian.
Good afternoon.
Gillian, thanks for coming on with us today. What's happening and why are so many people waiting to give their pets away?
There's a lot of different reasons, and we always have a lot of people looking for us to take their pets. And this isn't just dogs now. This would be cats. And of course, we're coming into the kitten season, so the numbers are going to increase for the number of animals that people are looking for us to take in. It's also things like rabbits, ferrets, guinea pigs, lots and lots of different animals that people are looking for us to take. And the reasons vary hugely, from unable to keep the pet because, you know, child's become allergic, or moving house, getting accommodation can be difficult, cost of living crisis, all the rest of these things. So there are lots and lots of different reasons.
Okay, it's very interesting. The cost of living, I suppose, is probably the main thing that might be at the fore of this. Is that what people are saying too?
Yeah, well, you see, the problem is for us in the DSPCA and some of the other SPCAs around the country, our priority here is to look after the lost, sick and injured animals, as well as the cases of cruelty. So because we have so many of these animals coming into us, the number of animals we can take in from people who are looking to surrender them is obviously less. So that's why, another reason why we have so many on our list. And the problem with the cost of living seems to be that there are so many animals that are coming into us that are sick or injured that people just haven't come forward to reclaim. And then the cruelty cases we're starting to see an increase in. And a lot of that has to really be to do with the fact that people either aren't bothering or can't afford to bring their animal to a vet when it's sick.
That's so true. What's the answer to this problem then, Gillian? Because, you know, I assume, you know, things are not probably going to get too much better over the next few months in terms of the cost of living. If people have pets that they can't look after, what do they do if they can't get them into your spot?
Well, they just, what they need to do is to be patient. And I would first of all say that, you know, we shouldn't be berating people who are on our surrender list or who need to surrender an animal. They're very brave. They've made the choice. They're making the right decision. But what I would say to people is you need to be patient with us. We can't immediately take the animal in because we obviously have to find the space. We don't want to be jam-packed and overcrowded. We need to be able to look after the animals we have here. But we do work with the people who are on our list, and we are working with people coming to get animals and trying to match up people on the list with people who are looking for them. The other thing we need to remind the public generally is please go to your rescue centre if you are planning on getting an animal, and not just a dog or a cat, but a rabbit or guinea pigs or any of these other animals. Do not go and buy them online. Please go to the rescue centres and be aware you need to be patient. Just because you go to your local rescue centre and they haven't got an animal that you are looking for then and there, talk to the staff. They may have them on their waiting list. They may have new animals they know are coming in next week. So do try to be a little bit patient. It is not like going out and buying a pair of shoes. You can't just walk into a shop and buy them. Mm. You have to be patient. We have to make sure we match you with the right animals. And we see it all the time where people come up, even though we talk to them, we explain the whole process to them. Chances are they've gone off home, they've gone on the internet, and you know they'll end up buying something which may not be right for them in the long run, and they may end up on our surrender list.
Okay. Gillian, you say obviously there's a big waiting list there. If I went to you tomorrow and I said I want a black Labrador and you had one on the waiting list, is there any way you can coordinate that, or is there a case where you have to wait until they're in the DSPCA?
No. Okay. No, we don't. So what we do is we do a process where any potential owners, what we do is we'll take the animal in, we'll do an assessment of the animal, we will then most likely foster this animal to you for a couple of weeks to make sure that it is the right match. We don't just give out animals that we randomly and we don't know their behaviour, so we will want to see the animal, probably see the animal in its own home before we can actually take the animal and give it to you. So we want to do that, and then when you do take it, you will be fostering it for a few weeks to make sure that it's the right match for you. But the options are there. We have a lot of animals that are looking for homes that do not have behavioural issues, that really have legitimate reasons why the owners can't keep them, and they would be ideal for people. It's just we don't have the space in the shelter to bring them in, so when people come into the shelter, they won't see them here.
Okay, what's the most surrendered animal at the moment?
Dogs okay. at the moment. So we're coming into the kitten season, so we're about to start seeing a huge surge of kittens. So there again, if you've got a cat and it's not neutered, please get it neutered now.
Okay. Again, I suppose the issue of cost might come into the factor there for people not getting neutered. What are the best options? Go to your vet, but if you can't afford that, Gillian, what do you do?
Well, what you can do is you can talk to some of the local charities. A lot of charities, a lot of vets will actually do a subsidised neutering programme. So they will do it at a cheaper price for you. But really, if you can't neuter your pet, then you have to look at the responsibility of, you know, having a pet in the first place. If you can't neuter your pet or your cat, you're going to have to keep it in permanently. A cat that mates will get pregnant, so you have to keep them in. And if you have a male cat, please keep them in as well, because they can be out every single day making babies, basically. So they're not helping the population control.
Okay. Many people probably would be a little bit wary, Gillian, correct me if I'm wrong, about maybe, you know, taking on a pet from the DSPCA. Sometimes people think, oh, they're problems, they may have issues. Is that the case, or are those people supported if that is the case?
Oh, absolutely. They're supported. We have dog training here. We have support and shelters. And what people have to kind of understand is that somebody who comes to a rescue centre to adopt an animal is more likely got an open mind and is prepared to put the work and effort into it. Whereas people who buy animals obviously have this idea, well, I'm buying it from a breeder, this animal is going to be perfect for me. They're all going to need training and work and effort. And a lot of the time, people coming to rescue centres are much more prepared to take on the animal when they know there is going to be potentially an issue. But we are very honest with people. We will tell them what needs to be, and we will make sure the animal is matched up properly. But if you go and buy an animal, chances are you're probably going to end up with more behavioural issues and more health issues than you will with getting an animal from a rescue centre.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. No matter what animal you get or wherever you get it, you're going to have to train it no matter what.
Absolutely. And you've got to put time and effort into it. Mm. And unfortunately, a lot of people who buy animals, the dogs and things, they just think that they're automatically getting a perfect animal. And that's not always the case. So they are going to have to put work and effort into it, whatever they get. But people who come to rescue centres seem a little bit more prepared for that.
OK. That is Gillian Bird, Head of Education and Media at the Dublin Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Thanks very much, Gillian, for your time. And with that news there, that there's a record number of owners waiting to surrender their pets. 0833 97 97 97. Let me know, have you ever got a dog from maybe the DSPCA, of course the KWW SPCA here in County Kildare, as well as many other animal shelters. I personally haven't. We have collies at home, but I do have a lot of friends who've gotten dogs from the DSPCA and KWW SPCA, and they've had great experiences with them. So let me know what you think. 0833 97 97 97.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, some good news happening this weekend, because there is a free battery and electronic waste collection days that are going to be held in Maynooth and Selbridge. And I'm joined now on the line by Dara Wire. He's Environment Awareness Officer at Kildare County Council. Good afternoon, Dara.
Good afternoon, Cuiva.
Dara, tell us where these are happening and who can go along.
Two events. The first is Selbridge this Saturday, the 13th, at Tesco's from 10 to 4, and then the following Saturday, Tesco's in Maynooth at the same time of 10 to 4. So they're public collection days. So anybody with any waste batteries or any electrical equipment at all that they're finished with, they can bring them along between those times.
Okay, can you give us an example then of electrical equipment? Because it can vary, you know, like say for example, an old kettle, would that be something?
100% agree, but literally as we Ireland, the organ of the event put it, anything that has a plug or a battery.
Right, okay.
Literally.
Anything with a plug or a battery can go along.
And they will also take batteries on the day as well.
So okay.
And particularly, and they're popular events with the likes of farmers who might have electric fence batteries or you know, somebody who has a few cars or whatever and they have a few car batteries there. Any batteries can be taken there on the day as well.
Okay, so it's not just household items, actually car items like that as well?
Yeah, any hobby kind of things that you might have going as well. They'll take all that sort of light equipment as well.
Okay, very good. What do they do with these waste batteries, Dara, are they just thrown away? Are they refurbished?
Certainly not. And this is really the point. And just to put a tiny bit of context on it, and just to show the scale of what we're into. A few years ago, we were producing 15 kilos of per head of population of waste electrical equipment. And that's gone up now in the space of 6 years to 23 kilos a head. So we're producing a lot more. And things like lockdown had a big impact where people were getting more equipment themselves while they were at home and things like that. So when they're done with, the point is that there's an awful lot of items in your electrical or battery equipment that is valuable. And this is kind of the point of it as well. It isn't just doing a virtuous thing. This is really, you know, the minerals that are involved in batteries, for example, like things like lithium, they're extracted elsewhere in the world at high environmental cost. So by bringing these things back into circulation, what we like to call the circular economy, it means that these valuable materials can be reused again and again. So complicated enough in terms of what the different pieces of equipment are, but essentially a lot of dismantling and then breaking things down into whether it's plastic or various types of metal, things like that, separating it all out and then returning them back into the production process.
Okay, obviously this is great, an event to recycle, but as we know, you know, it's usually reduce, reuse, recycle. Is there anywhere in Kildare that you're aware of that if, you know, a kettle breaks or, you know, a household item like that breaks, that you can bring it to and get it repaired? Because oftentimes I think, Dara, people just say, all right, well, scrap that, and they head down to their nearest shop and they just buy a new one.
100% on the money, Cuiva, and that's really we tend to jump to, people used to talk about the 3 R's of reduce, reuse, recycle, and people tend to jump to recycle as the first option when it is in fact the third. We want people to repair things first, and if something is working and you know you just don't have any use for it either, you can always put it up, and there's lots and lots now of internet sites where you can put things up for sale or to give them away as well. So even if it's working and you don't want it, there's still a home for it elsewhere. But there's a number, I mean, if you Google it, there's actually repair shops around the county, particularly I suppose people are familiar with phones in particular, that there's a lot of repair shops there and small electrical items like that. But there's also white good repair places as well, and you know, in a lot of cases stuff still might be under warranty, or you might have an extended warranty on your fridge or washing machine, in which case it can be repaired for free if that's the case. So there are a lot of repairers out there, and in fact the EU has kind of realised that we had jumped to that recycling end of things and we'd skipped those other steps. So there's now some legislation coming through at European level, which is the right to repair. So literally, when you buy an item now, the producer will have to put, you know, information up on the website about how you can physically repair something, what parts you'll need, and also crucially that those parts will be made available. Because, you know, we're essentially, you know, there might be one small thing wrong with an item and it's getting recycled when it actually could be brought into use again with just a small bit of repair. So the repairers are out there, and the information increasingly for people to be able to repair themselves is also out there.
Okay, that's great. And if anyone wants to text in with any repair shops around the county, that would be great, because I'm sure people would be more than happy to find out and maybe use them if they could. There's a few messages in here, Dara. Freezers and fridges, can they bring them?
Yes, They'll take any electrical item that is, now obviously there's a manual handling issue there,
yeah,
for people, so you just need to be careful with that end of things. And one small thing, just with the likes of a washing machine, you might be aware that a lot of washing machines, they actually have a big concrete weight on the top. If you can do a little bit of dismantling, you can actually take that concrete weight out, and that just makes the job an awful lot easier to get it over to the two venues on the day.
Okay.
Fridges and washing machines, 100%, and one of the key things with freezers and fridges is there's actually a gas that's used as a coolant in freezers and fridges, which CFC gas, which is actually an ozone depleting gas. So one of the key things with those is they're taken separately and they're degassed, and that CFC gas is caught during the recycling process to make sure it doesn't escape into the atmosphere. So you're not just recycling the item itself, you're also actually preventing other environmental harm as well at the same time by bringing it along. But absolutely, we obviously ask people to make sure the fridge is empty before you bring it over. Obviously, just from a manual handling, again, you don't want to be having items in the fridge at the time, so just make sure it's empty. But after that, 100% it can be brought along.
Okay, brilliant. Another message in here: have they any date for recycling in Nace?
No, you see, one of the reasons why we're having it in those two places, the plan is Kildare County Council is hoping to develop a civic amenity centre, as we call them, in Selbridge in the next couple of years, which will be a large recycling centre. Nace already is served by the facility we have at Cilliat Hill, and the south of the county by the one we have at Gallows Hill in Athy. So where there's a gap in that service, that's where we Ireland step in, and they organise separate collection days just to stop people from having to go and travel large distances to recycle these things. It should also be borne in mind, small electrical items, any retailer will be able to take those back. Larger electrical items, even if you haven't bought it there, some retailers are, they have a scheme going where they'll voluntarily take the larger items back at any stage during the year. And obviously, if you're buying a large item like that and you're getting it delivered, all the retailers will take back on a like-for-like basis. So if you buy a big fridge freezer, they'll take back your old fridge freezer when they come and deliver the new one. So just to bear that in mind when you're buying, because it makes life a lot simpler if you can get rid of the old one while you're getting the new one at the same time.
Absolutely. Just coming back to the recycling centre that serves Nace, Cilliat Hill there, it's on the Kilcullen Road,
right
there?
Between Nace and Kilcullen, just outside Kilcullen. And I should say that although most civic community centres always charge a fee, if you just have electrical waste, there is zero charge for you going in and out.
Okay, so it essentially works the exact same as these drop-off centres over the next few
Correct,
weeks?
Correct, open 300 plus days a year as well.
Okay, Darren.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead, Darren.
No, just to make the point, the scheme works on the basis that you will notice when you buy an item that there's a little extra charge. It appears on the receipt when you buy it. That's the fee that you're paying, which pays for the future recycling of that item. And that means that's how the scheme is to be able to run for free, because you've already paid for it when you bought it the first time round.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks very much, Dara. That's Dara Wire there, Environment Awareness Officer at Kildare County Council. And just to give out those days again, where you can, householders can bring their electrical items to these recycling events. So this is serving, I suppose, a further north in Kildare. So it'll be in Selbridge, the Shackleton Road in Selbridge, in the Tesco car park. That's this Saturday, May 13th, and it's from 10 a.m. till 4. And then the following week, Saturday, May 20th, I am in the Tesco car park on the Dublin Road in Maynooth. It's from 10 a.m. until 4. But for people around the Nace area, I'm not sure about the South County. I'll have to have a look into that and get back to you. But in the Nace area, as Dara was saying there, you can actually bring things to Cilliat Hill, which is on the Kilcullen Road. That serves the Nace area. And if it's just an electrical item for recycling, they will take that free of charge. So that is there for people. Thanks very much to Dara. Now, have you ever felt about, you know, maybe you wanted to run away with the circus? Maybe you're a free spirit. I've always said, I said to Owen Beattie the other day, I feel like maybe I was meant to be in the circus. Well, your chance has come, because there are now going to be free circus and aerial dance workshops here in County Kildare for the free spirited. And I'm joined now on the line by Lucina Russell, Arts Officer and Creative Ireland Coordinator for Kildare County Council. Good afternoon, Lucina.
Good afternoon, Cleaver. How are you?
Great. Listen, this is great news for people maybe who, you know, want a new hobby or want to tap into something that they feel they have in them. And now the opportunity is going to be here.
Absolutely, and you can run away to the circus, but you can also go home again that night, which is also,
true.
Also good. You can test the water, and especially if you're disappointed with the Eurovision news last week. So yeah, this is a really exciting project with Fidget Feet, that are a well-known spectacle and aerial dance theatre company. They're celebrating 25 years in existence, and some of your listeners may have been dazzled by some of their performances around the country on St. Patrick's Day this year in Dublin, or they may have witnessed them in the National Stud last summer. We had some wonderful performances, but this is an opportunity to get more hands-on, I suppose, with it. So we've got some funding from the Arts Council. Donegal and Tipperary County Council are our partners on this. But so for the next three Saturdays, we're encouraging people to come to Kilcullen GAA, and we have open workshops for anybody aged 11 over and over, and that includes adults. If you're under 18, you need to be accompanied by a guardian. But there's free workshops, you don't need to have any experience whatsoever, and it's a chance to try out some aerial and choreography from the show, and we'll have a little bit of bingo as well. Lots and lots of fun. So I strongly encourage people to come along to that. It's free of charge and all are welcome. And then we also, as well, if you can't make it to Kilcullen on the next three Saturdays, we have some community workshops where Fidget Feet can come to you. And we've had some fantastic feedback. I know that the Wheelchair Association in Athy had a workshop just the other day, and some of their participants were thrilled with the workshop. So Fidget Feet can come to you. And there's some daytime and evening slots available in the coming weeks. And then we're also looking ahead. There's going to be performances in the car park of Áras Cildara in Naas in August. So to save the date for that, it's the 26th and 27th of August. It's going to be a drive-in circus and bingo extravaganza. So who wouldn't want to miss that? But we're looking out for marching bands, cheerleaders, majorettes, breakdancers who might like to come and be part of the show. So there's lots of elements to this, but I suppose the one that I'm really trying to push today, Caoimhe, is the Saturday sessions for the next three Saturdays in Kilcullen and the community workshops where Fidget Feet can come to you.
Wow, it's really a great opportunity for people. Now, I know you said you can be a novice and you can learn anything, so you don't need to have the skills, but there's probably people out there who have skills such as ballroom dancing, jive, swing, cheerleading, Irish set dancing, street dancing, circus skills, contemporary dance, and of course marching bands, any bands like that, and you're really making an appeal for them to put their skills forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. But likewise, we cover people that are very skilled and people that just go, God, that sounds really exciting. So are equally interested in hearing from all people in the community who would just love to give it a go. You know, there's no, it's all very safe, obviously, and by very trained and skilled facilitators. So I think for somebody that just has maybe on their list of things they want to do, I think this is a fail-safe way of running away to the circus, but going home nice and cosy and warm that night.
Absolutely. So Kilcullen GAA this Saturday, Saturday the 20th of May, and then the 27th of May as well, also a Saturday. Yes. After all of these workshops, will there be any show at the end of it?
Yeah, so that's the show that's going to happen in the Áras in August. So you can maybe... by getting involved in the next three Saturdays, you may be part of the show, but we're looking for community groups for that. Or you might like to go as an audience member. So we're going to have shows on Saturday and Sunday, the 26th and 27th of August. But maybe we'll talk to you about that closer to the time. But for now, if anybody is there and feel excited by it. And now, we encourage people to come along, but we'd like to know who's going to come. So if they could contact myself through Kildare County Council or to email engage@fidgetfeet.com, and there's lots of information on their website as well. There's lots of elements to it, so we'd be happy to talk anyone through to know which element of it may suit them best.
Okay, engage@fidgetfeet.com if you want to get involved, and that is Lucina Russell, Arts Officer and Creative Ireland Coordinator for Kildare County Council. Thanks very much, Lucina. Now, moving on to something slightly different, parental regret. If you could choose to go back in time, would you choose to become a parent at all? Well, the question is taboo, but for some, it is something that they do feel. I'm joined now on the line by Dr. Anne-Marie Creevan. She's Assistant Professor and Researcher at the Department of Psychology in the University of Limerick. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Creevan.
Thanks for coming on with us today, Anne-Marie. It's something that really does feel unsayable, and it feels weird to say, but is this something that people feel?
Yeah, it's funny how you describe it as unsayable, but it's also nearly unaskable because we're actually lacking a lot of research on the topic in Ireland. But we do know from studies in Poland, from Germany, the US and the UK that quite a sizable minority of people do express regret. So regret is that feeling that if you could go back in time that you would make a different decision. So disappointment is what we feel when life hasn't gone to plan, but we couldn't necessarily control it. And regret is what we feel when we could have made a different decision that would result in a different outcome today. And the studies do suggest that around 10% of parents who featured in the surveys would in fact express regret. So I think that's really interesting because it's not something we talk about much in an Irish context.
A 10% is a fairly big chunk as well, Anne-Marie. Like, it just seems weird because I think if you were the child, like let's say now, if my parents were to say to me, you know what, I regret becoming a parent, you would feel kind of attacked in a way. But at the same time, I suppose it's something that we need to talk openly about, is it?
Well, I don't think it's helpful for children to hear that message, absolutely. And I think we should distinguish, of course, between regret and love. So a parent might absolutely love the child, but regret the course their life has taken and regret their parenting role. So even though it feels very personal, of course, not intended to be, it's not actually about the child at all. Usually it's about the other parts of life that someone gave up when they decided to become a parent. But I don't think it's ever useful for a child to hear that. But I think it probably is helpful for us societally, I suppose, to understand that some people will regret that choice. If you think of any other major life decision we make, maybe it's moving, maybe it's buying a house, maybe it's taking a particular career path, some people will regret those decisions, and choosing to become a parent is not protected from that regret either. Some people will experience that regret, and I think knowing that might make the people who experience it feel a bit better that they're not alone in it.
Absolutely. It is a strange thing to talk about, I suppose, but like, if you look at parents maybe and you say, you know, they regret maybe aspects of their life that they had to give up because of a child coming into the world, etc. You know, if you look maybe at a woman who maybe had a great career ahead of her and as because of children coming along, that was maybe pushed to the side or they stopped working altogether. Are those things that you see over the study or did it look at that at all?
So the studies that, so there's two kinds of studies. One is how many people experience regret, and the other kind of study is, well, what's that experience like from people who might have done interviews or even from looking at online discussions of regret. And people tend to regret not really careers, but more the well-rounded kind of life they had that they feel they missed out on when they chose a different path. So unlike other life decisions like moving house, like taking a new job, becoming a parent is not intended to ever be a reversible decision. So you should, in an ideal situation, be a parent for the rest of your life. So your children should outlive you. So it's not easily rectified. So I think that might be why it feels so committing relative to other life decisions and why people are likely to feel regret because they can't undo this and they can't really alleviate it either because it is such a permanent change.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Obviously, there's no study like this within this country. Do you think there's a need for it or how do you think it would be even received?
That's a really good question. And I wonder, is that why we're not seeing enough? I would love to have what we call a population-based study. So one where we ask a group of people who represents all different walks of life about their feelings about parenthood. Now, we do know, my colleague Dr. Carmel Hannan has generated data on this, we do know from the Growing Up in Ireland data that quite a few pregnancies, the timing of those was not planned, right? So around 72% were planned, but the rest weren't. And people can sometimes have regret about the timing of having a child as well, which is a little bit different from regretting the role of parent, but it's still a form of regret. So we have kind of peripheral data, but we don't have hard data on how many people do regret. And I know some have done work on, I suppose, the decision to have a child or not, which hasn't made it out there into the research literature yet, but I would hope it would. And I think that would be something interesting. I suppose what I think is probably most important is that we accept that there are many ways of living a well-connected and healthy life. Not everyone has to have children to live a fulfilled life. And if there's more acceptance of that, we might see more people opting to not become parents if that's something they're on the fence about.
Okay, I actually have a message in here now to 0833 97 97 97. I will openly tell people, new parents especially, that I hated my son when he was born and resented him, and that's okay. I grew to love him and work with him in my life now, but the first 6 months to about a year, I just did the basic things to keep him alive, fed, safe, etc. He wasn't planned, and I had just applied for college and got in, but then had to drop out. So obviously a young mother there. Thank you very much to that texter for texting in. That is very honest, Anne-Marie, and probably not something that we hear much in this country anyway.
Yeah, it is very honest. And I think those early days are going to be hard, whether it's a planned pregnancy or not. And that person may experience no regret now, but there'll still be a percentage of people who do ultimately experience regret even when that early stage is gone. But I think being more open about the realities of parenting and the stresses of it, and more accepting of different paths in life, probably helps people make the best decision for them. Because in Ireland, we really do place a premium on becoming parents, on having, you know, relatively more children than some other European countries. And that's absolutely fine, but it's just not for everyone. And I think more discourse around those other kinds of well-lived life might support people to make the best decision for them. And of course, as a scientist, would love to see more data on exactly how many people in Ireland do experience regret, given the numbers are, you know, not that small in other countries.
Okay, Dr. Anne-Marie Creevan there, Assistant Professor and Researcher at the Department of Psychology in the University of Limerick. Thank you very much, Dr. Anne-Marie Creevan, for your time. That's all I have time for today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.